trust in the wisdom of another. Some search for light in the dark. But like a child, I have come with simple faith in the only one who could change my heart. I believe God, I believe His word is true, for I've seen what He can do when I call upon His name. I believe God, so let the world say what they will. I will choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe God. Some say this life is the only thing that matters. Some say we live, then we die. But I'm convinced that eternity awaits. So with every breath, I will testify. I believe God. I believe His word is true. For I've seen what He can do when I call upon His name. I believe God. So let the world say what they will. I will choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe God so loved this world, He gave His only Son to die. And that's why I believe God.
And I believe His word is true, for I've seen what He can do.
What He can do when I called upon His name. I believe God, so let the world say what they will. I will choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe God. I believe God.
Thank you for that. Can we stand briefly, if you are able to read just, we'll read just two verses this morning. Joshua chapter number 24. Thank you for being here for our summer kickoff. And again, I hope that you'll be with us this summer as we have a great, great, great time. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 14. Joshua 24 and verse number 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, were the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for Your love. We thank You for all that You do for us. I pray in these few minutes we have that You would bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, each summer we do many special things, and we have different series during the summer than we have during the year, and I encourage you to join us in our teaching series. On Thursday night, we're going to be looking at, of course, this is our Fort of Flourish push. We'll be looking at the Ten Commandments, not just from a strictly law, but it's teaching us truths about God's law, His love, and His liberty for us. The things that God tries to teach us to stay away from or be involved with are to help us to live a life of freedom, free from the ravages and the bondage of sin. Sunday nights, of course, are our family nights during the summer with a hangout and all we're doing. We'll be teaching a series on the family. We're calling it a family portrait, what a Christian family looks like. So that will start tonight. And then Sunday morning, we're going to just do a simple series with familiar Bible verses. We're calling it the Simple Life, Timeless Truths that we're going to find in some very familiar passages. It just seems that we often get so used to looking at some passages in the Scripture, and they're so common to us, and we know we've read them and seen them so many times that we really miss the truths that God has in those passages for us. And so that's what we're going to look at on Sunday morning. By the way, that's why the Bible talks about meditating on Scripture. Meditating on Scripture means we think about what we're reading. We think about a verse. Because when we take the time to stop and actually think about a verse, we'll get a lot more out of it than if we just read it and say, oh yeah, that's talking about God's love. Well, think about it. There's so much truth in the Bible, we have to kind of meditate and dwell and think upon it. And of course, before we go on, this is our Forward to Flourish campaign, and just encouraging you. And I guess maybe one of the reasons I encourage the Forward to Flourish, I actually looked the right way this time, is because that helped me in my Christian life. Just as a new Christian, not knowing what to do, just saying, I'm going to start going to the church services every time, every service. And it just helped me. And so I hope that you will be a part of it. And if you go on vacation this summer, go to church somewhere. Okay, don't just take a vacation off of church. I enjoy when we go on vacation and visiting the other churches. If you don't know a good church in an area where you're going, I encourage you, ask your Sunday school teacher, and I'm sure they can help you find something. Now, this morning, we're going to look at these verses. When we read these verses, we tend to think right off the bat, you know, I thought the family series is going to be tonight. That is tonight. We're not talking about the family this morning. These verses speak to us about much more than that. As you read in the Bible, you will notice there are many times where there is a call for commitment. God calls for commitment. Jesus did not hide it. When Jesus was calling his disciples, he asked them to make a commitment to him. He had no problem with that. And those were his guys that were going to travel with him for the 3 years and be the leading lights in the founding of the church after Jesus went to heaven. But even with those crowds that would follow, Jesus always stopped and he asked for commitment to the point where if they were not willing to fulfill his requirements, he said, you cannot be my disciples. I think about Elijah when he sat there and he had the little bout with the prophets of Baal and then, you know, they do their little thing, and then Elijah steps up and he waters the sacrifice down. He calls fire from heaven. The fire eats up the water and it burns the sacrifice. And then he uses that as an opportunity to call for the people to commit back to God. And we could go on and on and on. And that's what Joshua is doing here in the verses we read. Joshua's long life started years ago as a slave in Egypt. And then he came out with them, and he lived the 40 years in the wilderness, not because of his disbelief, but because of the others' disbelief. And now he's helping them. They're into the land of Canaan. He has helped them conquer most of the land. There's still some work they need to do, and now he's ready to move on. He had done a great, great job. God had used him to lead Israel in defeating the enemy and conquering the land and starting to possess what God had promised for them. If anybody could say, as with Paul, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, that was Joshua. But yet, as Joshua is ready to move on, he's ready to pass away. The time of his life was coming to an end. His concern wasn't just, well, it's over, I'm done. He was concerned about the people in the land. He kind of knew their heart. He spent 40 years with them, with Moses. He had dealt with some of their issues, although they had more victories than not in the promised land. And Joshua wanted to make sure that they were ready to go. He didn't want to just leave them to themselves. There was still much left to do in the promised land. They were in the place of blessing, but they needed to continue on in their obedience if they were going to continue to receive that blessing. Let's read a few more verses somewhere else, and then we'll get going here. Turn back in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, right there before Joshua. We're looking at chapter 1. I'm going somewhere with this, so hang with me. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3, we'll start. Deuteronomy is where God is preparing the people to go into the land, and so he's rehearsing a lot of what has already happened. He's going back over what they'd already went through because he's trying to prepare them and make sure that they are ready. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "And it came to pass in the 40th year, the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them." So he's going to tell them what God said. They're getting ready to go in the promised land. Of course, Moses, because of what he did, he could not go. Verse 4, "After he had slain Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth, in ready. On this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare his law, saying, The Lord your God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you, take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites, and unto all the high places, all the places nigh thereunto, into the plain of the hills, into the vale, in the south, to the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Hebron, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord God had swear unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." Here now, Moses, and it's a different time, but kind of the same thing. Joshua's at the end saying, "Listen, we're almost done here. I'm almost done, and I need you to keep going." And now I'm going back to where Moses is ready for them to go for the first time into the land. And he's saying, "Listen, God said you've been here long enough. Okay, this has taken longer than it should. God wants us to turn and get going. We're going to go into the promised land." That's what he's trying to get them to do. It's time to go. Moses is encouraging them, "Don't be like your parents. Don't just linger around. The land is waiting for you. Go after it." The message from Joshua and this little verse, these verses I read from Moses, are saying the same thing. They're just different time and different location. He's saying, "Listen, don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself. God has things for you. And don't just sit around or don't get involved in nonsense and just keep doing what God wants you to do. Don't limit yourself." To those that were going to go into the land, he's saying, "Don't limit yourself in the old land." By the way, that's what their parents did. They all died. He said, "You've been here long enough. Turn, get over there. We're getting you into the promised land." Now, when Joshua's talking to him, he's talking to those saying, "Don't limit yourself once you are in the land." There is a tendency for us to do that both different ways. That's my message to you this morning. As a Christian, don't limit yourself. That's what we do. We limit ourselves. God has great things for each and every Christian in this room. God wants to do wonderful things. God wants to be a part of your life. God wants to have that blessing for you and wants to be a part of it with you. But if we don't have it, it's because we have limited ourselves. We're okay with where we're at. God says, "No, keep going forward." Now, I don't want our church, I don't want the Christians in our church to be Christians that limit God. We see it in the Bible. You see all examples in the Bible of Christians that kind of just, and examples of people, they were doing well or they didn't even get started. They limited themselves. We must be ready to go forward. As we look at our verses here, I want us to see it from two angles. I want us to see it, first of all, from the familiar verses, Joshua's angle, and then I want us to see it from Moses' angle. I want to notice, first of all, I want to say this. Don't limit yourself by staying in the old land. That's the message for Moses. You've dwelt at the mount long enough. By the way, it wasn't that long of a journey from Egypt to the promised land. It didn't need to take 40 years. You know, it didn't take 40 years because they got lost. It took 40 years because of their hearts. And they limited themselves. You see, they were out of Egypt, the bondage and the misery, but yet they still were not in the promised land. God didn't just bring them out of Egypt just to get them out of Egypt. That wasn't God's purpose. When they were in the land whining and complaining, and God ultimately always had a plan for them later on. But God didn't just say, I brought you out of Egypt, you're out of Egypt, we're done with it. The Bible says he brought them out of Egypt so he could take them into Canaan land. Getting out of Egypt wasn't the end. The end was, let's get to Canaan land and let's go forward. But they got content. They stayed in the old land. Their parents' generation didn't move on. They got stuck. And Moses is trying to get them past that concept. Say, you're not going to be like them. We're going into the promised land. Turn. Let's get going. Many Christians today live in the old land. We're out of Egypt. We're saved. That's about it. We're stuck. We've not entered into Canaan. We're content with just the fact that, well, I've trusted Christ and I'm not going to hell. There's more to it than that. Why do we like to just put, you know, we call it a governor. You know what a governor is? Governor is something you put on engines to limit how fast they go. When I was young in high school, I didn't have a driver's license. I couldn't get one, so I got one of these mopeds. They were pretty big back in the day. Those things went about 30 miles an hour. So I bought me a moped, and I'm like, it can go faster than that. So they had a muffler. I opened up the muffler, and they had these compression things there to slow it down. I took that out. And then where the pipe came out from the head, I poked a couple holes in it. That thing went 45 miles an hour. It was a bicycle is literally what it was. That thing screamed. My friend did the same thing to his, and I think he put too many holes in it because it caught fire and it blew up. I put just enough to go a little faster. But it's like, listen, that thing got 50% more speed just by taking the governors out of it. But you know what we do in our life? I'm right here, Lord, and I ain't going any farther. Don't do that. Don't just be happy with being a Christian when God has so much more for us over here. Why does that happen? Why do we limit ourselves by staying in the old land? There's a couple things I notice. First of all, if we're gonna not limit ourselves, we have to desire to change. When he said, listen, you've dwelt in this land long enough, in verse 7 he says, turn you. Here's what turn you means. I'm looking that way. Now I'm looking that way. Okay? I'm going to get dizzy here. The promised land wasn't over there, Brother Pichardo. The promised land is over there. I'm not going to get over there looking that way. He says, just turn. Okay, we got to change that first of all. You know why most Christians never change? They don't want to. They just don't want to. We're afraid of change. After all, I don't want to be a Jesus freak. We don't use that term anymore, right? No, Jesus freak. All right, well then, let me ask you a question. What kind of freak do you want to be? You're going to be a freak either way, so let's be a freak for Jesus, right? There's a whole lot of other things that you could be accused of that are a lot worse. But loving Jesus too much, I'll take that one. Not being like everybody else and being radically different, I'll take that one. But you got to be willing to change. Don't be, the reason we're content, I just like it here. There's no commit, and we'll get to that in a minute. But this, listen, we got a desire to change. If you're going to get to where God wants you to be, you've got to change. You say, well, I don't want to change. I just want to learn the Bible. You know, if you learn the Bible and you really learn it, it's going to change you. It's going to change you. See, things in life change, Brother Bacharo. That's just how it works. Brian and Erica just got married. Things are different now, Brother Pineda. Now, right now, they're the honeymoon phase. But life is on a different plane now. And that's, by the way, as you get older, things change, right? Yeah. First you were single, then you got married. Then there's another change. You have children. Then later on, you have in-laws too, by the way. And all different types. Life changes. It's okay. But it seems as Christians, we think that we can be a Christian for so long and we don't change, and that's okay. That's not normal. Amen. Growth equals change. So if we're not going to get stuck in the old life, by the way, why would we want to be stuck in the old life? The new life is better. Yep. I guarantee you, the minute they the new generation stepped into Canaan, they're like, wow, we should have been here a long time ago. This is good. Change. Next, take the journey. He said, okay, first you need to change. You got to turn. And then he said, turn you and take the journey. There's a path. There's a route you need to take. You know what that route is? If you're going to change, you got to follow his path. You've got to do what he says to do. We follow his ways. We like that cute little thing, footsteps in the sand. You know, I was walking in the sand, and I'm not against that. If you have that, God bless you. You know, I was walking in the sand, and it got hard, and there was two sets of footprints, and I noticed that there was only two where Jesus carried me. That's great, but, you know, most of the time, Jesus has to carry you because you're not willing to walk. Now, if you're struggling and having a hard time, let Jesus carry you. But come on, if things are going well and you don't want to change in your life, Jesus ain't carrying you nowhere. When you're hurting and you're trying to go the right direction, he'll carry you. But if you're not hurting and you're struggling to go the right direction, I wish he'd kick us in the rear. Come on, let's get going. You know, listen, we got to follow his path. If we don't follow his path, we'll never get there. How many of you remember, okay, this is old school, right? Thomas guides. Do they still have those dumb things? How many? Come on, let's date ourselves. How many remember those things? There's one in your truck? You might want to get a smartphone. You know, the books were like that thick with like 3,000 pages with every conceivable map in the city. And you had to pull the map out and like, okay, where am I going? And back in the 90s, with the early days of the church had no money, so we had our own business, and I did a lot of apartment managing. I'd have to go all these different apartments all over the place in Southern California and down in San Diego, and I'd get the Thomas Guide map, where am I going? And I'd have to know where I was going before I took off. And then it's like, you got to try to drive and follow the map, right? Those things were irritating. I remember one time... I was going to San Diego. We had a commercial property, and that's a nice drive. It was during the summer, you know, and so I printed out a map of where I was going, and I'm driving down. I had a nice pickup truck, and I opened the side windows, and the window in the back, you get that nice breeze, and I'm driving down the coast, look at the ocean, and I'm having a blast. And then there was a gust of wind, and I had the map up where the little thing is, and it sucked the map out the back window. I'm like, I have no idea where I'm going. It's gone. Now, today we have GPS. Okay? You know, like, where am I going? In 400 feet, turn right. It's like all you got to do is put the GPS on and your phone tells you, it's like your wife, your phone tells you exactly what to do. You know what? Can I just tell you something? You know what we need? We need a spiritual GPS, God's word. If we just get up each day and say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to change, and I'm going to follow you. Now, then when we follow, it's like, how far down are we going? Don't worry about that. Follow God today. Just do what he says. But we'll never happen if we're not willing to follow him. We like the old land. It's familiar. We like the old land. It's comfortable. Can I tell you something? The old land doesn't last. The longer you're saved, the less satisfying the old land is. Why don't we follow him? Then also, if we're going to get out of the old land, we got to want what's best. Look, verse 8 there says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess it. What land was this he set before them? The land that houses that they were going to get that were already built. They came fully furnished. They had crops that were already planted. It was a land that would flow with milk and honey. It was good. Now, when we think of, they say they spent 40 years in the wilderness. We think of, don't think of the wilderness like some beautiful forest. That's the desert. By the way, you think it was hot here last Sunday? It was 120 in Phoenix. You say, man, I want to move to Phoenix. The houses are only $100,000. That's why. And by the way, if you buy a house in Phoenix, you're going to end up staying in it. It's hot there. No one wants to be there. So they were living somewhere that was subpar when God over here had something so much better for them. Listen, why would we settle for second best? Why would we do it? That's why if you go to buy a car, be very careful. Have a budget, but you go there, they're going to show you the top of the line car. You know, the car that drives itself, the tires go sideways and you hover, that type of thing. You know, it has a coffee maker in there. Teletransporter, it has all that stuff. I can't afford, because they know if they get you in that car, that little stripped down model you wanted isn't going to look so good. You're like, yeah, you know, this one, I mean, you know, if I'm in my house and I just think about driving, the doors open, the car starts. Because they know that for the most part, people want the best. Except when it comes to Christianity. Why is that? Why is it that we just want enough? You know, if God says, here, you can have this. Good, better, or best. Why would we choose anything less than best? And Moses says, listen, do you understand? You got to get going because there's something way better over there. Right. Amen. Want what's best. Oh, taste, Psalm tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You say, I don't really know that the Lord is good. Let me ask you this. Have you tasted it? Tasted it. Have you tasted him? I just, this Christianity thing's not work. Have you let God work? It's good. Amen. So that's why we get stuck. We don't limit yourselves in the old land. Now, let me talk to those of you that are in the new land. Don't limit yourself by being satisfied in the new land. That's what Joshua was talking about. See, there's a danger once we start serving the Lord for a while for us to kind of just get used to it. And once you get used to it, what happens is you start going backwards. You can be in the right place, but that's no guarantee you're going to stay in the right place. Don't limit yourselves by your satisfaction in the new land. How does that happen? Well, there's a couple things and we'll be done. First of all, don't squeeze God out. And back to our verse we were using, Joshua in verse 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. So far, so good. Now this confuses me. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the Jordan, of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Now they'd already been in the land for a while. Why did they have to put away the old gods? Some of them started having the old gods. Here they are in the promised land. God's doing something for them. It seems to me some people had already slipped in the old gods. By the way, the gods of the nations that God judged. The gods of the nation that couldn't work for them. And here they are bringing them in. See, what happens sometimes, we get in the new land and we let something else start to squeeze God out of our life because we're sophisticated nowadays. We don't serve idols. We let other things take God's place. We don't bow down to the sun god. We don't bow down to Baal. What we do is we let people, activities, or things like that squeeze God out. Don't let that happen. Say, but I'm faithful to church, and I'm doing this, and I think I've crossed into the promised land. Be very careful. Satan will have things come your way, and it'll start squeezing God out of your life. Don't let that happen. Well, there's no idols in this church. I think there is. We just don't see them. Don't let anything squeeze God out. And then lastly this, don't be afraid to commit. That's what Joshua was saying in verse 15. He's saying, I'm leaving here. I didn't say for old school, I'm leaving on a jet plane. Okay, that's... Because I'm leaving. I'm out of here. He goes, you need to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? The people that don't serve God, you know why? They're afraid to commit. They're afraid to commit. You know, I'll come to the promised land and I'll take a little bit of it. I don't want to be crazy. You're going to commit to something. Why are we afraid to commit to God? If you think about it, really, it makes no sense. Does God love us? Yeah. I mean, did he not prove that when he sent his son to die for our sins? Does God not have our best interest in heart? I think he does. Oh, see, most of us, if we had good fathers, they loved us and wanted what was best for us, right? Do you think God's any worse? So then why don't we trust him with everything? You see, what's keeping you from getting everything that God has for you, even if you're in the new land, is you're just not willing to commit to him. We kind of play around with God. Sometimes I'm in God, but other times I'm not in. And maybe this week I'm in, but next week I'm not. Why don't we take this thing seriously? God's worthy of our commitment. And by the way, the good land is worth the investment. Are you limiting God today? I want you to think about that. Are you getting all of God that God wants you to have? Now, ultimately, I understand none of us can say yes to that. But are you getting as much as you possibly could? Are you striving to get as much? Or do you say, I'll go this far, and in your mind, you may not say it, but you kind of understand, I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to kind of just stay right here. I'm not going to. Why? God has what's good for you. God wants what's best for you. And if you don't experience, the question is why? Well, is it God's fault? No. Then who must be the one limiting what I'm getting from God? If it's not God, there's only one other option. Oh, you can blame others. Well, this person did this or this happened. No, you can blame all that, but the bottom line is it's because we just don't allow God. And my encouragement to you today is what Joshua said. Just serve him. Just make that decision. Go all out and say, Lord, I'm in. I'm not going to limit what you want to do in my life. I'm not. I want to experience everything you have for me. And I'm not going to do anything to keep from getting that. Let's stand together today.